It's time for the Bob Cerace Show, broadcasting live from the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Here's the voice of Princeton football, Cody Kruschel.
Here at the Alchemist and Barrister on Weatherspoon Street in Princeton, the Week 2 edition of the Bob Cerace Show. Cody Kruschel here with the Tigers head coach Bob Cerace. And Coach, 50-7 opening up last Saturday at Butler out in Indianapolis. Can't imagine you envision things going too much better than they did for your season opener.
Yeah, we got off to a great start. And really, I thought the energy from our team coming out right out of the tunnel was outstanding. And you know, the second play of the game, you score a touchdown on a 66-yard bomb. You get the ball back, score again, and, you know, you really took any hope they had.
Talk about the tunnel. Nobody hit the deck going down that ramp. That was an interesting setup going into Hinkle Fieldhouse.
Yeah, I said it. I think maybe my pregame speeches aren't good ever, but it was by far the worst pregame speech I ever felt I gave. I had the players on a ramp. I came out, I told one of the staff guys, we might come out flat. That's as bad as it could be. And next thing you know, Jesper's running down the sidelines with the ball. We're up 7-0.
Two plays, 26 seconds in. It was a 63-yard pass from John Lovett to Jesper Horsted. Jesper Horsted and Steven Carlson, two of our guests here tonight. Before we talk receivers, let's talk running game. Charlie Volker, 14 carries, 162 yards, two touchdowns, and that's without stepping on the field in the fourth quarter. That's about as good as he's looked in a Princeton uniform.
Yeah, one thing he did, and he's been working real hard at, is making plays in the open field. He is so big and so fast, and he's been very productive throughout his career. But for him to get into the second and third levels and make guys miss, you know, he's such a tough kid. He likes to run guys over, and to add that to his repertoire was awesome.
John Lovett back after missing last season with an injury. Taking over as your starting quarterback, more of a pocket presence. Still got out of the pocket and did some good things with his legs, but what was the evaluation on him? What do you kind of take out of his performance, things to work on, things you really liked?
Yeah, I thought he played an awesome game, and he threw the ball well. When things were a little muddy, he has the athletic ability to make big plays. You know, he hasn't started a game at quarterback, and I know you got, you know, who's first, who's second, but he hasn't really played in 18 months. And so there's a few things he's rusty on, but his athleticism just took over. And, you know, we scored, I think, seven of our first eight drives. And at that point, we were running the clock out.
Early second quarter, Calanidi breaks off what at least we thought was a 35-yard touchdown run. The radio broadcasts were talking analytics. Okay, Bob Cerace must have a sheet of paper that says when you're up 23-0, you go for two. And we called it like a two-point conversion, and then I felt better when I went back and I looked at the TV video broadcast, and they also called it like a two-point conversion. Were you guys confused by that at all, or did you know what was going on? I saw a lot of celebration down there.
Yeah, well, we thought, you know, from the sideline, it looked like he was in, and he thought he was in, but the official ruled him out on about the four-yard line. So we knew we were first and goal from the four.
And everybody in the stadium knew it was coming.
Yeah, and so that was a really great way to continue on in the half.
Talked a lot about the offense. Let's talk defensively at Butler. Kurt Haluba didn't play, but still three sacks, three different guys, a lot of younger guys as well. A really good all-around effort by your defensive front against a really good offensive line. This is an offensive line for Butler that returned five redshirt upperclassmen. They allowed seven sacks in 11 games all year last year, and they didn't take their starters out really until the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, so it's not like your guys were pressuring the quarterback against second and third teamers. They got good pressure.
Yeah, no, I was really proud of how they played. And we played a lot of guys. That was the plan going in, even in the preseason, that we were going to utilize our depth better this year. And I thought all those guys got great push. DeMarco and Rollator and Strain, especially up the middle, and Sam Wright and Matt Jester, a freshman, comes through with a sack. And you know, Jeremiah Tyler or Mike Wagner, there's a lot of guys that are good football players, and they played well.
Kind of a luxury to get a lot of underclassmen on the field. We saw six or seven freshmen, I think, get on the field for you guys. Pretty much everyone that traveled got out there. Trey Gray, 12 carries in the second half. Matthew Jester, as you mentioned, picked up that sack. And kind of a luxury to get freshmen game reps on opening night.
Yeah, no, when we first got here, we weren't a very deep team, and if we recruited 30 freshmen, all 30 were about traveling. And, you know, where we are right now, we have a very deep team and a very deep senior class. It is hard to make the travel squad, and we're relatively healthy right now. So, you know, there's some good young players that unfortunately aren't quite there in their development yet, but at some point this year they're going to help us.
44 points in the first half, 6 points in the second half. Do you take anything away from that?
Yeah, we had the ball for 12 minutes in the first half, and we scored 44 points, which is just up and down the field. And as we went into halftime, I told Coach Gleason, who our offensive coordinator does an outstanding job, one thing we didn't work on in camp, and you can't really work on it much, was a four-minute drill. We worked on it once. We're going to work on our four-minute drill. We had three drives in the second half and played keep away, and they we had 20 minutes, the ball for 20 minutes, and they didn't have the ball the whole second half. And I thought we executed, you know, four-minute drills were going for 8 minutes. That was pretty awesome.
Kind of overlooked special teams sometimes. Nico Ramos stepping in as the place kicker and did have that one extra point that was a little bit low, but 3 for 3 on field goals, 6 extra points, I think. Pretty good job by him stepping into that role.
Yeah, I thought our special teams as a whole played very well, and we kicked off well. We were terrific in the return game in many areas. But Nico, to come in, and Tavis Rice was nursing an injury during camp, so I wasn't going to give him the full workload, and he comes in and he drills 3 field goals right down the middle, which was great.
You talked a lot about it last week, traveling to a place like Indiana that you guys don't normally go. Princeton, up until last Saturday, had never played a game in the state of Indiana. Important for alumni, also pretty cool for guys like Andrew Griffin. I think we saw in the parking lot half the people out there in the Princeton tailgate section wearing Andrew Griffin T-shirts, and comes up with his first career catch. That had to be a pretty special moment.
Yeah, that was awesome. You know, the sideline erupted on that, and we all knew that Andrew was from Indiana. The kid works his tail off every day, and he's getting better. And, you know, for him to get that first catch in his home state with all of his family and friends was a really nice deal.
Monmouth this weekend, home opener, community and staff day, so normally one of the better attended games of the season. The weather looks perfect, mid-70s and sunny. Princeton's been playing football for 150 years almost. Monmouth, this is their 26th season, so not exactly a brand new program. You guys are less than an hour away. Somehow this is the first time this game has happened.
Yeah, I got the job, and about a week later, Kevin Callahan, their great head coach, calls me and wants to get them on the schedule. And, you know, I think it's important for us to play teams that are nearby, whether it's a Lehigh, a Lafayette, you know, Monmouth. And I looked at our, you know, asked for our schedule, our future schedules, and it was booked until 2018. So as soon as we could get them on, it made a lot of sense. And back then, they weren't thriving completely as a football program. They were good. This is a, no doubt about it, if they stay healthy, playoff team that has a chance to make a deep run.
Playoff team last year. We'll talk a lot about the Tigers' opponents from West Long Branch later on in the show. You can submit your questions for us tonight. GoPrincetonTigers.com/TheBobSerace Show. We have 3 other guests on the show today. Wide receivers coach Mark Rosenbaum, his first season on the staff, and then 2 guys finishing up dinner right now. Going to join us next, Jesper Horsted, Stephen Carlson. The numbers the last 2 years speak for themselves, but you know, what's something we don't know about these 2 guys that we should?
Yeah, well, the A&B, which is awesome. This is our favorite place, my family's favorite place, so it's great that we're here. And the A&B thought they were getting off easy with the food when the wide receivers came in. And there's 2 guys that are 15 pounds bigger than I was as an offensive center when I started my sophomore year. And I don't think they have enough food here to feed those 2 guys. They are both outstanding players, and it's not just like, as a fan, you see them catching the football. As a coach, I see them on the backside of a run, running down the safety in the middle of the field to make a block. They're completely unselfish guys and team players, and you know, they're fun to coach.
Wide receiver is kind of a tough position to play in this offense because you're not just running routes and catching passes.
Yeah, no, they have to block. They you know, they're sometimes they're decoys for each other, and they're good teammates and help set each other up. And I just love how those guys work, and they come to practice every day prepared, and they set a great example for the young guys.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Bob Surrey Show. We're here every Thursday night. Join us each week for the latest on Princeton football and enjoy drink and food specials all night. Check out the menus at the A&B. Bobsarraytshow.com. We'll take our first break. When we come back, we'll welcome on two senior wide receivers, Jesper Horsted and Steven Carlson. This is the Bob Saray Show on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
You're listening to the Bob Saray Show with Princeton football head coach Bob Sarays. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
Volker still in the backfield. Three wideouts, two to the right side. Horsted and Carlson. Knopf pressured over the middle. Has Horsted, shakes a tackle, shakes another. There goes Jesper Horsted across the 50, across the 40, across the 30, to the 20, to the 10. Touchdown, Princeton. No flags on the field. The Tigers take it 88 yards. Jesper Horsted caught it about 15 yards upfield and then beat the Bulldogs to the end zone. 6-0 Tigers here on Senior Day. Back at the Alchemist and Barrister, that was one of many highlights last year for one of our first guests tonight, Jesper Horsted, also Steven Carlson, two senior wide receivers, two big guys who already rate the dinner. Give us the review on what you guys had.
I'd say it's probably like an up there 9.5-ish. It was pretty awesome nachos and buffalo mac and cheese. That was amazing.
I had some really good sliders. Yeah, delicious.
Jesper Horsted last week at Butler, 7 catches, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns, including a 63-yarder on the second play of the game. Looking at Butler, looking at what they tried to do defensively, at least the first two plays of the game, trying to keep a man on you, 0-for-2. Kind of break down those first two plays. They give you some space, you take it. Second play, they play a little bump and run, and you end up behind the defense.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I think the first play was for Coach Gleason to kind of get a test of how they're going to start us off and how they're going to play us in this first drive. And then once he saw that they were kind of trying to man us up, he gave us a route that he calls man beaters that are ideal for when we're just one-on-one versus a defensive back. So, I mean, it was a very good play call, and it's kind of a fake. So the cornerback kind of bit when I went back towards the ball, and I had him beat after that.
It's one of those things, you know, you say with Ivy League teams, you guys start your season a couple of weeks after the rest of college football, and you can look at it both ways because you guys are fresh, but they have their legs under them, and you have film on them, they don't have film on you. Do you guys take anything out of the opener and starting late, or is it just another game?
I think it's pretty much just another game. I mean, it is really nice to have film on what they've already done this season. It gives us a much better look going in than they have on us. They have to game plan off last year, and our legs are obviously feeling better than theirs, but at the end of the day, it's just another game for us, so it doesn't make that much of a difference.
Steven, looking at last week, I think you finished with 3 catches. Jesper had the big day on paper, but do you take pride when you kind of tie up the defense and let him get loose?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it doesn't really matter who's getting the credit, who's getting the catches. We know we got plays designed that'll work against coverages. And whoever's getting the catches, you know, we're both excited either way. And I'm happy to take guys and focus them on me while Jesper's getting balls. And Jesper, I know, is happy to take coverage and focus on him while I'm getting catches. So it's never really ever been about who's getting catches, who's scoring points, just as long as we're winning.
Jesper, I know we have you listed as Shoreview, and then I've seen Roseville. Set the record straight.
Yeah, I live in Shoreview, like right by the dividing line, but I went to school in Roseville area schools, so technically like I should have gone to a different school, but I went to a different one just because I, in the youth ages, was just playing Roseville sports, so not much to it.
Two-sport athlete, baseball and football, all Ivy in both, Ivy League titles in both. We've talked to you about this a couple of times while you've been here at Princeton, but the ability to play both baseball and football, how big of a factor was that in you ending up at Princeton?
It was a huge factor. I didn't really know if it was going to be possible as I was going through the recruiting process. It was kind of always a dream of mine, but kind of in today's day and age that like everyone wants you to specialize, it didn't look like a reality in 95% of the schools I talked to. So, I mean, before even worrying about which sport I was going to play, I knew I wanted to go to a school with good academics, and that was kind of my first priority. And then after that was like, can I do both? And if not, what's just going to set me up for the best like postgraduate success? And then Princeton kind of came through and offered all three of those things, so it made a pretty easy decision.
You know, how do you balance that? You're not only a two-sport athlete, you're a starter and a really good athlete in both of these sports. And during spring football practice, you're over the fence at Clark Field, about 100 feet away from where you'd be practicing, and then, you know, during the football season when guys are playing fall ball, you're out there at the football. How do you balance that? How do you make sure you stay sharp for both?
It's tough, but there's certainly like a period before each of the season starts that I just have to focus maybe a little bit more than people who had been able to be there in the off season. But there's still like months before each of the season starts that I'm able to go down and make sure I'm in a spot that I need to be before the season begins. So, I mean, it seems like it goes right from one to another and there's no time in between, but that's not really the case. I've never found that, like, I'm probably not where everyone else is when that first practice lines up, but by the time the first game, the first ball is snapped, the first pitch is thrown, I think I'm pretty much on the level everyone else is at, and I think I managed to like improve as the season goes on, which is nice too.
Saw you a couple years ago during a media time out at a basketball game for Princeton and Jadwin. You threw a couple down. Did you think about maybe mixing a third sport in, or did you give any thought to playing basketball at the next level after high school, or was it always baseball and football?
No, I got a couple looks, and it just kind of complicated things, and I knew that I wasn't nearly as good, and that I just didn't like it as much as I liked the other two. One smaller school did offer me to play all three, but, I mean, that just doesn't even sound ideal at all, so I didn't really give any looks, no.
And Steven, Coach Sarace is pointing over at you.
Yeah, I mean, I loved basketball in high school, and I still love it now, and I consider myself a better player than Jesper, but we do intramurals in every spring, and we had a pretty good record there, a couple championships, Jesper and I and the rest of the Carlsons and wide receivers, and so we got a pretty good team, and basketball still in our lives, and we enjoy it and go out there and try to throw some dunks down on people.
What was going to wait to ask you about that last week? Mark Fassati and Tom Johnson called you the Carlsons, and that was the first time we saw it, and then someone on Twitter said there's two more Carlsons. Got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, so I think it originated from our freshman year. Coach Perry, our old offensive coordinator, me, Jesper, Alex Parkinson, Jordan Argue.
Those were the other two?
Yep. We were all messing plays up, not running fast, not doing great in camp. And Coach Perry just grouped us all together as the Carlsons. I don't know why he chose my name. It's kind of irrelevant. But from then on, the quarterbacks would just be like, the Carlsons, and talking to us all four, like, Jesper Carlson, Argue Carlson, Parkinson Carlson, Carlson Carlson, and it just kind of flew from there because we're all same height, same weight, similar athleticism, so that's kind of how it formed.
Jesper, a couple of things going back to your high school days. I saw in your bio 19 catches in a 2013 state playoff game. What do you remember about that?
It was really
cold.
Most
high school teams run, what, 65, 70 plays in a game, and you caught 19 passes?
Yeah, that was an awesome game. That was definitely my favorite high school game. So we were playing at, like, the University of Minnesota Stadium. It was the furthest that my high school had ever gone in their history. We didn't have a great past. But so we were in, like, I think it was the quarterfinals or something, and playing an undefeated team. And, yeah, it was just – I was on that day, I guess, and the quarterback was throwing it to me a lot. But it was really cold. I remember it was, like, 35, and then it got progressively colder, so we were like catching the ball and like sliding around, had like all these layers on. But yeah, that was an awesome game, and we ended up winning by 3 on like a last second field goal, and our kicker hadn't made a field goal or an extra point all year long, so it was pretty cool.
And then 2015, your senior year, Minnesota High School Athlete of the Year. Being from Minnesota and seeing some of the other names on that list, Joe Maurer, Paul Molitor, Dave Winfield, that had to be really special for you to be associated with those guys. I mean, I imagine those are guys that you grew up looking up to.
For sure, yeah. That was the coolest thing ever, to go to that banquet and like hear the names of the people that, you know, had come before me. That was definitely like one of my goals that was going into high school. Not that I really told it to anyone, but that was what I really wanted to do, even though it was a long shot. And, yeah, that was one of the most gratifying moments ever. So, yeah.
Here with Jesper Horsted and Steven Carlson. Guys, stick around. We'll have you on at the other end. We'll talk to Steven a little bit more. We're here at the Alchemist and Barrister. It's the Week 2 edition of the Bob Sarace Show. Back after this on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
It's time to talk Princeton football. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister in beautiful Princeton, New Jersey, with the Bob Sarace Show. Here's Cody Cruchel and your Princeton Tigers football head coach, Bob Sarace, on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
So now the Tigers, a fresh set of downs, just over 5 minutes to go. Knopf surveying, looking, end zone, one-on-one, Carlson has it, touchdown Princeton. Second of the day, Knopf to Carlson, a one-on-one matchup. He's not going to lose too many of those. And the Tigers have opened up that important two-score lead, 20-7 with 4:58 to go in the first half. Back here at the Alchemist and Barrister, Cody Kruschel, segment number two, with our two senior wide receiver guests on the show tonight, Jesper Horsted and Steven Carlson. Steven, we just heard that highlight. I think that was from the Cornell game. Seems like you really take pride in winning those one-on-one battles. You don't really lose too many of them.
Yeah, I mean, I love one-on-one matchups because, you know, it's just you versus the guy across from you. And in my mind, I always have the mentality that I'm going to win those every time. And I know if I get beat, it's on me. So that's kind of like personal motivation that if I get open, if I make a move, if I get this DB off of me, that the quarterback's going to put the ball where it needs to be.
Jesper, does that translate to the hardwood?
It absolutely does, but I can still lock him up.
Last year, three touchdowns in your first career start. That was the opener at home against San Diego. Coming into that season, two catches over 2 years. How much did you sleep the night before that first start? Finally getting a chance to crack the lineup.
Yeah, that was awesome. I was really excited before that game. I just remember lying in bed, just visualizing catching some touchdown passes, and then went out there and it happened the next day. So I knew what I was capable of, I think. I knew through all the work I put in that I could contribute to the offense, and then it was just a matter of going out there on Saturday and doing it.
It's one of those things, you look at your stats from last year, 71 catches, almost 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns. If it wasn't for the man to your left, we'd be talking about it as maybe the second or third best season for a wide receiver in Princeton football history. I know you said that you knew you could contribute. You couldn't have imagined that you would have that kind of impact, or did you?
No, I never imagined that I'd have that kind of season. I knew I'd have to step up, and I knew Jesper was going to be there, getting the same amount of catches and same stats. But towards the end of the season, to be honest, I think Jesper would say the same. I wasn't even paying attention to stats or touchdowns. And then after the season, I wasn't even sure, to be honest, like how many touchdowns I had or how many catches I had. But it was just fun winning a couple games and going out there and making some plays and going up jumping for balls. That's just something that I hadn't really done in a live game since high school, and it was fun being out there.
Jesper, I know you had a touchdown pass last year, and that was to you, right?
Yep, that was.
did you take more pride in catching the football or throwing that touchdown pass?
I think traditionally I take more pride in catching the football, but that was one of my highlights of last season. That was so awesome.
Well, I talked to Coach Sarace about it a little bit. Playing wide receiver in this offense, you guys are in motion, you guys are blocking, you guys have multiple quarterbacks on the field. What is the most challenging part of playing wide receiver at Princeton?
I think conditioning is definitely one of the biggest parts.
Just based on the number of plays and the pace you guys play at?
Yeah, I know Coach Race was talking about it earlier. Talking about practicing the 4-minute tempo. Jesper and I were looking, saying maybe we should practice that more at practice so we get a little catch of our breath. But in the game, you know, I think the toughest part is running deep, trying to be the guy on a go ball, and then the next play having to run inside and dig a safety out, and doing that constantly, like 60 plays a game or whatever we run. So just keeping your legs, keeping your air is one of the biggest things. And you know, if you can do that, the other teams aren't going to be able to keep up with us. So we know we have to be conditioned, and then that'll give us an advantage, especially late in the game.
Talk to Jesper a little bit about where he's from in Minnesota. If we've never been to Jamestown, New York, tell us what Jamestown's like.
Jamestown's a little small town all the way.
You have the Stompers, right?
Yeah. All the way west of New York. I think it's about 35,000 people, so pretty small town. One high school, a couple smaller surrounding high schools, but everyone there's got a community mindset. Everyone knows who everyone else is. It's a great atmosphere, small town, so you know the community, and they have your back the whole way, so that's awesome.
Butler last week, you looked at their defensive backs, 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". Monmouth this Saturday, a little bit of a different challenge. Give us the scouting report on the Hawks defense.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be a little bigger, a little more physical, a little more up in your face. But we know it's going to be a similar look, you know, as far as coverages, man coverage versus zone coverage. So it's going to come down to us winning on the outside, being physical, doing the stuff that we've been practicing since camp started and throughout the summer and last year. Getting guys off of us, going up and getting those 50-50 balls. That's going to be one of the big stories of the game.
Jesper, last year, new offensive coordinator, someone you were familiar with in Sean Gleason, but taking over for James Perry. And this year you have a new wide receivers coach, Mark Rosenbaum, who we'll talk to next, taking over for a coaching legend, especially here at Princeton, and Dennis Goldman. A little bit of turnover, new coordinator, new receivers coach. How much has that changed things?
I've really been impressed in how little it's changed things. There's kind of been, in both cases, just kind of a seamless transition where you hardly even notice that there's someone else coaching. Like with Coach Gleason, he picked up right where Perry left off with the offense and continued to, like, develop and create his own stuff right in Perry's scheme and modify what he liked and delete what he didn't like. So I think he's done a fantastic job, and he has similar motivational skills for the players. So he's been fantastic. And the same can be said with Coach Rosenbaum for Coach Goldman. I mean, they do teach slightly different things, but I feel like having learned from both of them, I have a greater understanding of, like, wide receiver techniques and reading defenses and stuff. It's been really beneficial, actually, to hear, like, a different perspective and hear different coaching this year.
What's something outside of the actual coaching part of it, what's something we should know about Coach Rosenbaum? Putting you on the spot.
He's a very energetic guy. He likes cracking jokes in meetings, making it a little lighter than Coach Goldman. Definitely Coach Goldman was, let's get down to it. Here's what we got to watch. Here's what we got to do. Coach Rosie is more of a, he's more friendly with us, and he's cracking jokes all the time. And that's something that we never really, I mean, Coach Goldman was very technical. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And Coach Rosie is the same way. He's just adding a little younger feel, more energetic feel to our meeting room and to practices, which is awesome.
Guys, thanks for spending a couple minutes here, and good luck Saturday, home opener against Monmouth, senior season.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Cody.
Stephen Carlson, Jesper Horsted will be back after this, talking to their new wide receivers coach, Mark Rosenbaum. This is the Bob Surrey Show from the Alchemist and Barrister on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
You're listening to the Bob Surrey Show, live from the Alchemist and Barrister, with Princeton football head coach Bob Surrey and Cody Cruchel on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back at the Alchemist and Barrister, which is proud to host the Bob Surrey Show every Thursday night. Join us each week here for the latest on the Princeton football team and enjoy drink and food specials all night. Check out the menus at theanb.com. We are back at the A&B here on Witherspoon Street in downtown Princeton. Cody Cruchel joined by the newest member, I think the only new member of the coaching staff this year, Mark Rosenbaum, taking over as the wide receivers coach. And I guess if you have to go into your first Division I positional coaching job, those are two pretty good guys to build around.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, on and off the field, they're great kids. They work really hard. They do everything you tell them to do. And, you know, I couldn't have come into a better situation.
New Jersey native, you're here at Princeton. You spent a couple of years at Rutgers. Sort of walk us through your career up till this point, playing and now into coaching.
So I played at Susquehanna University, a smaller Division III school in Pennsylvania. My first coaching job was at Moravian College in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Worked there for about 6 months, and then I was a graduate assistant at Rutgers working with the receivers for 3 years. And then I was fortunate enough to get an interview here, and you know, I landed the job.
Going back to your time at Rutgers, not a ton of wins over those three seasons, but I have to imagine Big Ten football is a pretty good proving ground when you're trying to get your foot in the door in coaching.
Absolutely.
Especially some of the guys on that staff.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, what I took away from it. I was able to observe the habits of some really good coaches, you know, like Coach Ash, Jerry Kill, John McNulty, Lester Erb, Jafar Williams. I could keep naming them, but they're all really good coaches, and you know, I learned a lot of really good habits that have helped me influence my coaching style.
From Long Valley, New Jersey, is that West Morris?
Yeah, West Morris Central.
West Morris Central, pretty good teams there when you were in high school.
Yeah, we won states my senior year.
State senior. What group?
Group 3.
New Jersey is still funky because they have, what, 16 state champions or 12 state
easy,
champions?
Oh, easy, easy. Yeah. Yeah, that's – well, going to school in Pennsylvania, I always heard a lot about that because I think they only have 4 or 5.
They actually play it out.
Yeah. Well, hey, a ring's a ring, though.
Exactly. Talked about lucky enough to get an interview here with Coach Surrace. Talk about what made Princeton a good fit. I know you're obviously from New Jersey, but it's not just coming back home.
Yeah, so it's a phenomenal institution. You know, anything that I had heard about Princeton while I was working at both Moravian and Rutgers was extremely positive. Heard it was a really tight-knit group as far as the staff, sports staff, and that it was a great place to work. So when I heard about the opportunity, I researched into it and called people I trusted. And, you know, on top of that, being able to coach a position here at a school this awesome, you know, it seemed like a really good opportunity.
Playing at Susquehanna, you're a wide receivers coach now, but you were a quarterback. How does that translate into being a wide receivers coach? Does that give you kind of a different perspective?
Yeah, so I think my first year, I wasn't able to speak as well about technique and route running and things like that. That's something that I've learned a little bit more over the past couple of years. But I did, going into my first year of coaching, have a good understanding of coverages and spacing of pass concepts. So, yeah, you're right. It was kind of like having a little bit different perspective that I think helped the receivers in some ways.
Taking over for Dennis Goldman, he's a staple here, was a staple here at Princeton. Did you have a chance to have any interaction with him before he retired?
I did. It's funny, actually. Last year, I spoke at a clinic in Connecticut, and it was a three-hour clinic. The last hour, he actually walked in and sat in and listened, and actually spoke with him after for 15 to 20 minutes. The next morning, I went to go work out, and he was on the treadmill running. And I had asked him a question. I think it was about, you know, route running technique, speed cuts. But, you know, he was nice enough to talk to me for about a half hour, you know, in the hotel weight room early in the morning. And, you know, he's still, since I got the job, you know, he reached out to me, congratulated me, and he's been in touch with me since. He's been nothing but awesome to me.
Was that conversation really your look behind, your first look behind the curtain at what Princeton's about from a football standpoint?
Yeah, and also, you know, I was excited about it too because, so it's funny, the receivers coach I worked for at Rutgers, Lester Herb, he was Coach Goldman's graduate assistant at Syracuse. So a lot of the things that Coach Goldman teaches is what Coach Herb taught. So, you know, I was aligned in a lot of the things like technique-wise and teaching that Coach Goldman did, so I was excited about that.
Two guys that we talked to earlier, Jesper Horsted and Steven Carlson, similar builds, similar numbers last year. It's really easy to kind of group them together. They're the Carlsons, you kind of lump them together. But looking at each of them, what makes each of them unique? What makes Jesper a little bit different as a football player than Steven?
I think that's kind of hard to say. I think they're both great football players. Just speaking about Jesper, he's got as good ball skills as anybody I've seen at any level. And when you talk about Steve, he's a guy who takes pride in everything he puts on tape. So he's very involved in the run game. And he's an extremely physical kid. And that's not something that you always see at the receiver position.
You have these two guys that are 6'4", 215, and 230, and then you have Jacob Bermelin out there. He made his first start last weekend, 5'9", 165. We talked to Coach Sarace about him during the preseason, and the one thing that he talked about was how good of a route runner he was. Is that the thing that stands out about Jacob Bermelin?
Yeah. He stands out to me because, you know, I think it's a word coaches use, but he's got a lot of twitch. He is very good in his route running. Just because of his natural athletic ability, he's able to transition in and out of breaks really smoothly and create separation, and that's why we like him so much.
Coach Monmouth, this weekend, give us the scouting report from your standpoint. A little bit of a different challenge than you guys saw at Butler last Saturday.
Yeah, you know, they were a playoff team last year. They're definitely a good team. Really excited about the opportunity to have, you know, some playmakers on both sides of the ball, and it'll be a good test for us.
Coach, good sitting down with you, and best of luck this Saturday.
Thank you.
Going to go 2-0.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
It's Princeton wide receivers coach Mark Rosenbaum back after this with head coach Bob Sarace from the Alchemist and Barrister. This is the Bob Sarace Show on the Princeton IMG Sports Network and Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's time to talk Princeton football. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister in beautiful Princeton, New Jersey, with the Bob Sarace Show. Here's Cody Cruchel and your Princeton Tigers football head coach, Bob Sarace, on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Princeton football coming off a 50-7 win Saturday over the Butler Bulldogs in Indianapolis. Now at home for the first time in 2018, the home opener this Saturday, kicking off at 4:30, the first ever meeting between the Princeton Tigers and their in-state rival, the Monmouth Hawks. Cody Cruchel back with Tigers head coach Bob Sarace Coach, we just talked to Mark Rosenbaum, and he talked about being excited to be here. And I remember when you were going through that process, how excited you were after you sat down with him for the first time. And what made him such a good fit on your staff?
You're replacing Dennis Goldman, who's a legendary wide receiver coach, you know, FBS football, pro football. And Dennis was so detailed, so prepared. He got the guys ready to play, and you didn't want to take a step back. One of the strengths of our team, if not the strength, is those guys you just talked with. And to have a guy come in and just wow us in the interview with his level of detail, his preparation, his ability to communicate. And, you know, I've been coaching a long time. Coach Gleason's been coaching a long time. And we both learned a lot during that interview, and that was very impressive. And we thought he was the right guy to take over this outstanding group.
Tough act to follow in Dennis Goldman.
Yeah, no, Dennis, as I said, he is a treasure. He's one of the best coaches, if not the most detailed coach I've ever been around. He's such a great person. His wife was great with the other wives and girlfriends, and just a football person that just devoted his life to this game. And the players were always better for it.
Talk about your opponent this weekend, Monmouth. The Hawks 2-1. Again, a team that went to the FCS playoffs last year. Three games in, they opened with a loss at Eastern Michigan, an FBS opponent, and then back-to-back wins over Hampton and Lafayette. That game last Saturday in Easton, probably a little bit closer than Monmouth thought it would be, but playoff team from a year ago, a 2-1 team, and a team that should be right at the top of the Big South. Talked about it last week as far as what you look for in a non-conference schedule. This is shaping up to be a pretty good one.
Yeah, no, we knew going in this was going to be a challenging schedule. We knew Monmouth was going to present incredible challenges. They return everybody from a terrific team. They are well coached, well designed. You know their offensive coordinator, Kevin Morris, and he's outstanding. Kevin Callahan, their head coach, has been doing this successfully for a long time. And you know, we knew this was not going to be a circled win. This is going to be a great challenge. And what they do schematically and with the talent they have, it's as talented a team as since we've played Hampton back in 2011. It's by far the most talented team since then that I've seen on film. And then you add the great things they do schematically, and it's going to present a lot of issues.
You talked about Kevin Morris, the Monmouth offensive coordinator, a New Jersey native, and you said earlier this week in the past you guys had kind of gotten together, exchanged some ideas, and you guys go way back to when you were both at the Division III level.
Yeah, no, when I was a young coach, and, you know, you meet a lot of guys, and some of the guys I know at Princeton were at other places. You go down to the convention, and you meet a guy they keep calling Kamo, and he's always been so good to me, and talking football and literally emptying, you know, the things that he does and does so well. And when he got to Monmouth and we were here at Princeton, it's been something we've done on an annual basis, is get the best guys in the area around, high school coaches, college coaches, and some professional coaches, and just look, can we do this thing better? And when you watch them play, they're doing it exceptionally well.
Let's talk about the Monmouth offense. This is a team with a ton of weapons. Let's go kind of position by position. You look at the running backs. Pete Guerrero, he was the conference rookie of the year last year. He's a 190-pound max sprint champion. You throw Devell Jones in there, 235 pounds, their short yardage back. 75 career rush attempts for Devell Jones. 14 of them have ended in the end zone. I know you're not a Giants fan, but makes you kind of think of Thunder and Lightning, Ron Dane, Tiki Barber, kind of a similar dynamic there where they just give you different looks.
Yeah, no.
Is that blasphemy to bring up something with the New York Giants?
No, I love those guys when they played. I like watching good football. So, you're talking about two exceptional guys in the pros and in the Big South. That's two of the best. And certainly Guerrero, he hits a home run every game, and he has a knack for making big plays, explosive plays. As you said, he's a sprint champion. And he finds a way to get efficient yards as well.
If you're Kevin Callahan, that's a pretty good weapon to fall into your lap. He didn't compete as a freshman. He won two sprints in the outdoor track championships and then decides, hey, I want to give this football thing a try. So Pete Guerrero, a fantastic running back for Monmouth. Last week you saw one of the better receivers you'll face, Pace Temple, a guy who his longest catch was 17 yards. Your young defensive backs did a good job with him, but Pace Temple, a guy who is known to make the difficult catch in traffic. Reggie White Jr. for the Monmouth Hawks, a guy who, like Pete Guerrero, can get behind the defense and then he's gone.
Yeah, one of the differences is against Butler, you could double Pace Temple and try to make them go elsewhere and take your chances. You do that against Monmouth, and they're hurting you all over the field. So you got to be very limited in what you're doing sometimes. So then Reggie White Jr. gets in these one-on-one matchups. He can run by you. He can jump over you. He's great in the intermediate game. He's one of the best receivers that I've seen in my 9 years.
Say Reggie White Jr., I didn't know there was a second Reggie White that played in the NFL, not the son of the former Eagles and Packers defensive end, but his father had a 4-year career as an NFL wide receiver, so that's Reggie White Jr., not necessarily the Reggie White that would initially come to mind. Quarterback position, Kenji Bahar coming off back-to-back 300-yard games. Hasn't thrown an interception the last 2 weeks. He's a junior. He's a second-year starter. Really looks like he's getting comfortable and playing like an upperclassman.
Yeah, he had a terrific year last year, and you watch him. He can beat you from the drop-back game. He can get out of the pocket on design plays and beat you down the field with some things out of the pocket. If you don't contain him, he gets out of the pocket. He can run it. He looks to throw down the field. He gets the ball down the field. He's accurate deep. He is really an outstanding player, and certainly he's one of the best guys in that conference, and he'll end up being one of the better guys nationally.
Monmouth, their offense stands out. Their defense played well against Hampton 2 weeks ago, held Lafayette to, I think, 20 points this past week. Defensively, what does Monmouth do well?
I think they're such a physical unit up front. Their defensive line's about a quarter inch off the ball, and they look to smash the offensive line. Their linebackers, when the ball's being run, are downhill. Their safeties are downhill. Their corners are athletic. It's a tremendous defense, and it's one that runs to the football. They play with effort. They tackle well. You know, again, we're watching a team that is you come to the game, and, you know, as you said, it's community and staff day. Get out there because this is an impressive team, and it's one that, you know, you'll leave there saying, we don't get to go to the playoffs because the Ivy League doesn't let us. We're in the playoffs this week.
Community and staff day, 4:30 kickoff Saturday, a 3 o'clock youth clinic bringing it back. They've done that the past few years over on Weaver Track. Always fun if you have kids, and then normally one of the better crowds. Should be mid-70s, sunny, and a nice day for football for the home opener for the Tigers. So you guys have Monmouth, and you say kind of feels like a playoff game because this is when you test yourself against teams that you don't see every single year. After this game Saturday, a short week, NU Friday night at Columbia, the Ivy League opener. It's a late kickoff Friday, short week, non-conference game before your Ivy opener. Do you play it a little bit closer to the vest knowing that you have the short week and you getting into Ivy League play the next week?
You know, I guess if you were playing in a conference that could go to the playoffs, maybe my thought process would be that way. But we've scheduled three teams in the non-conference schedule that have a really realistic opportunity to go to the playoffs. This team we have coming up is a team that if you're just going to not, you know, prepare, and they'll beat you by 70. I mean, that's how good they are. If we just think, okay, we're going to get ready for Columbia next week, we'll lose by 70. And our guys don't know how to turn the off switch. You know, it's got to be on the second they step on the field. And at the end of the day, this is a great challenge. If you come to Princeton as a student, you anticipate challenges. You want to be challenged in things you do. If you come here in our football program, you want to be challenged. We're going to challenge you in the weight room, in the practice field, in the meetings. And we try to get a challenging schedule. And, you know, this is the first year I can recall we don't have a circled win. Like, you better line it up and strap it up. And if you do, maybe you have a chance.
Last week on the road, you guys had to hop on a plane, so you had a little bit of a shorter roster. This week, you have the full contingent at home. Highly touted freshman class, you got to be kind of licking your chops for the opportunity to maybe get some new bodies out on the field.
Yeah, you know, we took 62, which is our limit on the road, and 62 guys played. And, you know, hopefully we can do the same, you know, this week and, you know, play 60 to 70 guys. We really are enthusiastic about our depth. in terms of that, and guys are developing, getting better, and we're seeing it in practice. The hard part is we got to get those guys prepared, and with a limited, you know, amount of time each day of practice, you know, we got to do, and we got to be so on point as coaches to get guys prepared. But, you know, I think we have a good plan to get a few, you know, a few more new guys in there.
Something we haven't touched on too much this year, something that we did talk about or at least hint about last year after a couple of games, the Ivy League instituting official replay this year. Now I think the Pioneer Football League is the only Division I conference that doesn't have that. I've always been kind of on the fence. I've always been one of those things. You want to get the call right, but do you want to tack on a half hour to the game? I guess at the end of the day, if you're getting calls right, that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's not tacking on a half hour. You know, there wasn't one play last week that would have been reviewed because the officials were awesome. Every play, including the one we thought was a touchdown, was called correctly. And, you know, that's at the end of the day what you want. And, you know, I've been doing it for 9 years, and our officials are typically awesome. Maybe there's a play here or a play there. But last year, if we had replay, we lose two games, and we wind up Ivy League champs, and we don't get it back. It's not like, it's like financial aid at Princeton. It's not retroactive. I don't get more of that loans I had to pay back, and now the students don't have to. We don't get those plays back, but, you know, we sent a senior class out the door, and, you know, there's three games where if there's review, there's three plays that go our way that are easy, you know, calls on replay to make that are hard calls on the field. And the likelihood is we had a much better chance of winning all three of those.
Final question for you. How bummed are you didn't get the Sixers GM job?
I'm bummed Saxon didn't get it. I'm really happy here. But as Cody knows, we work with Craig Saxon, and he's our liaison for athletic communications in football. And there's no more passionate fan of the Philadelphia Sixers. And I don't know if I really liked Craig when we first started going here, but the fact that he loved the Sixers so much, we learned to like each other. I don't think he liked me either. And we've learned to really bond through the Sixers. And he knows everything. He's up on every blog. He's up on every site. The second it happens, I get off the practice field. It's like, Elton Brand, GM, I think I like this. You know? So he's my guy with the Sixers.
You guys record Football Friday. We don't do it on Friday. We do it on Wednesday. Don't tell anybody. But I think I just want to start rolling because the 10 minutes before we actually go on the air, pure gold, mostly involving the Sixers.
Yeah, no, I don't get to see, as Craig does a number of other sports, I don't get to see him all the time. So in a little bit of time we get to talk, it's, you know, house fault shooting, what's going on with Embiid, you know, who's going to be her GM. And, you know, I think every conversation I have when we're doing, and Craig does yeoman's work, he works, you know, hours and hours and hours, and he did an article on Steve Carlson this week. It's one of the greater. You get a chance to read that on GoPrincetonTigers.com. Great article on him, and, you know, we're so appreciative of Craig with that. But it does give us a chance to distract ourselves from our jobs every day for a couple minutes and talk about, you know, the 10-9-8 76ers.
Princeton taking on Monmouth this weekend, the home opener, community and staff day, 4:30 kickoff. That youth clinic over on Weaver Track adjacent to the stadium gets underway at 3. That'll go from 3 to 4. You can watch it on ESPN Plus. You can listen on the Princeton IMG Sports Network. Visit GoPrincetonTigers.com for more information. Coach, thanks for another hour here on a Thursday night down at the A&B, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cody.
Princeton head coach Bob Surray. Special thanks to David Fenster, our engineer, making sure the show got on the air today back in the studio. For Bob Surray and all of our guests tonight, I'm Cody Cruchel saying so long from the Alchemist and Barrister. This is the Bob Surray Show, and this is Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.